Speaker!
Order! Order! The House will come to order straight away. Order!
The House returned from the two-week Easter adjournment with the focus on Prime Minister John Key, back from the royal wedding to news of a change in the leadership of the ACT Party, which, with the Māori Party, has a formal agreement to support Mr. Key's national-led minority government on questions of confidence and supply. With ACT's new leader, Don Brash, present in the chamber and sitting to the left of the Speaker, as he's entitled to do as a former MP and National Party leader, Tuesday's sitting began with this approach to the Speaker, Lockwood Smith, from Labour's shadow Leader of the House, Trevor Mallard.
Sir, it has been widely reported in the media today that Dr. Don Brash has been indicating to the Prime Minister the membership of the Executive. And that goes both to, I think, two questions, sir. The question of who is in the Executive and directly as a result of that, who can answer questions in this House.
Lockwood Smith said he'd look into it, while Mr. Mallard put this question to the Prime Minister.
Will he rule out appointing Don Brash as Finance Minister at any time in the future?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, I can absolutely rule him out for this term.
Order. 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 Order.
As for the man Don Brash replaced, inquiries about Rodney Hyde's future were led the next day by Labour leader Phil Goff with this question for Mr. Key.
Why does he regard a man described by ACT Party leader Don Brash as quote-unquote toxic and tarnished as a man suitable to be in his ministry?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, because he's done an outstanding job of managing local government.
As well as local government, Mr. Hyde also holds portfolio responsibilities for regulatory reform and special education, which took him to the Education and Science Select Committee on Wednesday morning to brief members on his review of special education services.
In doing the review, we received over 2,000 submissions, which is quite an extraordinary number if you think about it. And these submissions confirmed that, you know, people were reasonably pleased with the support that they were getting, but that there were parents that lacked confidence in the system and the processes, no doubt about it, that parents faced too much bureaucracy when trying to access existing support services.
Back in the chamber the next day, questions for the Prime Minister were answered by his deputy, Bill English, who took refuge behind the one excuse available to ministers for refusing to answer a question, that giving an answer would not be in the public interest. He did this in response to attempts by Labour's Pete Hodgson to dig into Mr. Key's explanation that he used a helicopter to fly to Auckland because he had to be at a meeting about something to do with security.
If he had travelled by car from Hamilton to Auckland as previously arranged, would he have arrived on time for his security-related meetings?
Mr. English said he could not comment on security matters despite the Speaker's intervention after Mr. Hodgson complained that his question was not about the meeting.
I think the member makes a fair point. The question was, had the car been used, would the Prime Minister have arrived in time? The question was not about what the security issues were.
But Mr. English again refused to answer Mr. Hodgson's question, adding,
and on behalf of the Prime Minister, it is not in the public interest to provide that information now.
The Speaker said that answer had to be accepted.
I can't judge that, and I mustn't as Speaker. It is not my role to judge that. People can judge that themselves. They've heard that assertion made that it's not in the public interest. People heard the question asked. They heard the Speaker seek and answer the question asked. People can make their own judgment about the assessment that it's not in the public interest to answer it.
While Labour concentrated mainly on the Prime Minister, they were joined by the Greens in attacking cuts in social welfare, while Green co-leader Russell Norman stood alone with his party in voting against a bill apportioning market share in milk production.
We must be stupid. What other parliament in the world would vote for a piece of legislation that requires its biggest company to subsidise its competitors?
More on that when the Dairy Industry Restructuring New Sunset Provisions Amendment Bill enters its committee stage next week, while the only government legislation passed this week was the Land Transport, Road Safety and Other Matters Amendment Bill, raising the minimum driving age to 16. Parliament resumes at 2 on Tuesday with more questions and answers, providing they're consistent with the public interest. I'm Tom Fruin, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.